5.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
We talk about all kinds of things on this program, doing a lot of candidate interviews this time of year, and another one today. Stan Pulliam, mayor of Sandy, running as a Republican for governor, joining us. Stan, thanks for being on again.
Thanks for having me. It's always great to be on.
So overall, how do you feel like your campaign is going?
You know, we feel great about it. We just had a televised debate last night on Coin 6. I think, you know, anyone who took the opportunity to really watch that and view it saw that the contrast is clear. You know, I mean, we're the clear grassroots conservative in this race. We're the ones that's taken the bold stance on the biggest issues facing the state. We're extremely proud of that. You know, some of your listeners may have kind of seen or heard that we've been traveling the state on our campaign bus, which, you know, in all reality is actually just my mom and dad's RV, you know, that we dressed up to look nice like a campaign bus. And we've just made incredible memories. My family traveled around. The kids, my wife's been with us, and our two little girls. And for them to see the different corners of this state and just the beauty and the remarkable, you know, nature of the people of this state. It's really been a once in a lifetime experience. And we continually hear that the problems that we face in our small communities in suburban Portland like mine and Sandy are the same issues, you know, that are really facing all the different small communities like Sandy throughout Oregon. And folks are sick and tired of the politicians from Portland, Eugene, forcing their values and beliefs onto the rest of us, and they're ready for change in this great state.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that debate last night. I didn't get a chance to see it. It's on Coin TV's website. Folks can still access it. Christine Drazen, Bud Pierce, Bob Tiernan, and you deemed as the top four candidates. Is that the way you see it right now?
Oh, absolutely. You know, when you look at, you know, who has the resources, financial resources, to be able to get our message out to the campaign organization, the grassroots infrastructure. I mean, definitely the four top candidates. And so that's my message, you know, to your listeners today, is that, you know, if you deem yourself a conservative, if you're looking for a leadership style similar to that of Ron DeSantis in Florida, where you've got someone that's walking around with a big flashlight talking about these issues from, you know, the crazy sexual curriculum, the gender identity being taught to our young kids as young as 5, you know, in our schools. So someone's going to talk about banning critical race theory. You know, we're solidly your conservative candidate in this race. We need conservative voters to coalesce behind our candidacy, or quite frankly, we're just going to get another milquetoast establishment candidate. And we've seen the success rate for that for Republicans over the last 40 years. Not very good.
What do you think some of the contrasts were from last night? Obviously, you have four people talking. You got people asking you questions. You can never get through everything you want to do in a limited period of time. But where do you think you stood out?
Well, you know, there's a couple of different items. One is obviously when asked about the 2020 election and whether it was fraudulent or not. All three establishment candidates, from Christine Drazen to Bud Pierce to Bob Tiernan, all three said Biden, Biden, Biden. We were the only candidate that spoke truth to power to the extreme left-wing woke media. We said that the last election was absolutely fraudulent, which it was. When you consider the last-minute change to vote by mail in all these different states, the fact that the courts in Pennsylvania themselves have said that it was unconstitutional because it sidestepped their in-state constitutional requirement for in-person voting. When you think about the Hunter Biden scandal and the fact that it was completely edited off of our news feeds and into the news cycle during the campaign. But of course, even CNN, the New York Times, and MSNBC admit that it's true today. You know, it totally wasn't fair. It was absolutely fraudulent. And I was the only candidate willing to say it. I think the other differences you saw was Christine Drazen is spending hundreds of thousands, in all reality, millions of dollars, with messages that are lying to Oregon voters. She's talking about leading cap and trade. Well, the truth on cap and trade is that Christine likes to talk the talk, but she simply doesn't walk the walk. You know, many of your listeners may remember, you know, the courageous state senators that walked out and prevented cap and trade from taking place. And the truth of the matter is that Christine and the House Republican caucus members stayed back the first time. And then the second time, people may remember the Senate walking again. And again, Christine and the House members stayed back until the next day. So she's going to say that she's leading the way. We need to make sure that people are leading from the front, not from behind. And as the only elected official standing on that stage, currently elected official, you can look at my terms as mayor, how, you know, when I took over as mayor, we found out that our police department was nearly $1 million in debt. We stood up for our police. We filled the budget. We have one of the only fully staffed police departments across the entire state today. We have more officers on the street than when we began. You juxtapose that with Christine's leadership after the George Floyd incidents that happened. She stood on the side of the extreme left, woke, you know, Antifa, you know, activists and rioters out there on the street. And so that's what Republican voters really need to consider in this next election. Are you looking for a fighter to stand up there on stage against Kena Kotek and Betsy Johnson? Are you looking for more of the same? We believe solidly that we're that fighter.
With 18 people running, 19 on the ballot on the GOP side, how does anyone come out of this, though, with a strong victory heading to November?
Well, and that's exactly why we need to be the candidate who wins, quite frankly. You know, Republican voters, you know, over the last, quite frankly, 40 years, they've been drawn with a choice in the primary. They've had to choose between the candidate that shares their conservative, you know, values and beliefs versus the candidate who's more moderate, milquetoasty, watered down, but has the ability to raise the money and build the organization. What we've put together this time is a campaign that doesn't make voters, you know, Republican voters, you know, ask that question. We are solidly the grassroots candidate. We announced a 36 county chairs in all 36 counties. We hit the ground running, but we've also raised over $1 million from over 2,000 Oregonians, every county in the state, all corners, all reaches of the state. Average contribution size over $300. We've proven we've got the grassroots credentials, the conservative values and beliefs, and the ability to raise the money and show the organization that can win. And we believe that's why we need to be the candidate that unites this party and takes us to victory in November.
I've been watching Oregon politics my whole life, even when I was younger growing up in the eras and changes along the way with different folks coming and going. And this time, the governor's race seems a bit unique. You mentioned three candidates come the fall, Betsy Johnson picking up some support from both parties. That changes the playing field a bit. Does it make it easier for the GOP to get a victory, or does it make it harder?
Well, I think it makes it more clear. You know, you mentioned that she's getting support from both sides. And in all reality, that's not true when you're looking at voters. When you look at voters, our internal polling shows that she takes twice as many Democrat supports than Republican voters. Now, what she does draw is big corporate money that a lot of the times the folks in the media want to, you know, link, you know, with Republicans. And the truth is that Betsy Johnson has gone out and rolled around with some of the biggest corporations in this country, the big corporate fat cats that are backing her campaign. And you think about, you know, all the folks over the Portland Golf Club and Waverly, you know, they're high-fiving. They think they have figured out, you know, the electoral success, you know, to get left-wing Betsy Johnson into the governor's office. And Oregonians, they're up on it. They understand where this money's coming from and what's happening. And they realize that in this November, they're going to be able to have a choice. They're going to have a choice between Kena Kotek, who's backed by the big government employee unions, Betsy Johnson, who's backed by some of the biggest corporation, big corporate fat cats that are backing her campaign, or we can solidly look at a, you know, a small town mayor, you know, whose community is heavily dependent on our small Main Street businesses that are the heartbeat of our communities, who stood up with his business owners he grew up with and fought back as a community, who stood with his wife, Mackenzie, who created the Oregon Moms Union and fought to get her kids back into school. And then once they were back there, to get rid of critical race theory and this ridiculous comprehensive sex education, gender identity being taught, you know, to our kids. I think Oregon voters are tired of what's happening in this state, to the mass homelessness and crime, to our kids going to one of the worst schools in this country, and that we are the clear alternative to the path that the state has been on for the last four decades.
More when we come back on Inside Douglas County. Stan Pulliam, Republican candidate for governor, the interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 Inside Douglas County, News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming at 1. Later, KQEN Local Talk at 4. Umpqua Valley Live as we look at arts, entertainment, community activities. We've got some live music this afternoon, some other guests to come in as well. So that'll be later today. On Monday's program, Democratic candidate for Congress Val Hoyle will be with us. We're talking with Republican Stan Pulliam, mayor of Sandy, and running for the GOP nomination for governor. Let's roll through some of the specific issues. What about the state budget? Where would you make adjustments to spending priorities?
Well, you know, we have strong proposals to back the police. We want to triple the size of the state police. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, how are you going to do that, right? We have the state police already trying to hire. Portland Police Bureau, they struggle to hire. And I just point to my leadership, you know, in Sandy, the fact that we're one of the only fully staffed departments across the entire state. And the reason we're that way is because from the mayor's position to our city council to our city staff, people, our neighbors, people in our community, they back the blue. And the word's on the street. So police officers, they want to come to Sandy. They want to work in Sandy. That's exactly how I'm going to lead as our next governor. I'm going to be someone who backs the blue. You think about these press conferences that happen after crime happens in Portland, where we have Joanne Hardesty or Mayor Ted Wheeler. They show up, and they never have the back, you know, of the victim or the police. They always have the back of the criminal. So we would look to triple the size of the state police. We also need to look at our education budget. We need to get more money into the classroom. We need to completely reform how we fund education. We need to get to school choice. We need to get to empowerment of local parents to be able to make the decisions of the future curriculum choices, you know, of their children. You think about all the fighting we have going on right now about critical race theory, sex education, all of these. Well, guess what? That all goes to the side the moment that parents have the opportunity to choose the curriculum, the schools, and the future, you know, for their own children. We also have a bunch of money that's all tied up, that are dedicated funds. We need to create more flexibility within our state budget. We need to review our state budget, look at some of the funds that have dedicated resources of money, and see what we can do. Because right now, too many times when we look at our budget, our leaders are simply not able to prioritize and put the money where the biggest needs are because the money's already tied up. We've got to look at our budgeting system and process here in the state, but most importantly, we need to set priorities where Oregonians have them, which is squarely in cleaning up homelessness, getting people off the street, beefing up our police so that we have safe communities for our neighbors, increasing infrastructure so vehicles can move around. We don't have people sitting in this congested traffic, which is truly a family values issue. If people can't get home to their kids or to Johnny's baseball or basketball game, they're not able to coach those games. They're not able to be at practices. They're not able to spend time with their families. We need to set budgets for the priorities of everyday Oregonians.
I want to back up to your comment about law enforcement. Here in Douglas County, we don't always have 24/7 Oregon State Police coverage, yet our county's geographic footprint is as big as some states. How do you practically work through the process to sort of reinvigorate the state police?
Well, you know, what's interesting is that Kate Brown, Governor Kate Brown, actually had a proposal, you know, during one of these past sessions that would actually have doubled the state police. And she couldn't get people on board to get that through. I think about folks like Christine Grayson, who's in the House, as well as Betsy Johnson. Where was their leadership to push that through so they could address the kinds of problems you're talking about? The fact is in the 1970s, we had 30 officers per 100,000 people in the state. That number today is 8. And then you wonder why, you know, we can't get response times and police coverage in communities like you just referenced and what you're talking about. That's why we need to triple the size of the state police. You know, I found out when I became mayor, I talked about that $1 million in debt. One of the other things that I found out about is exactly what you're talking about, is we didn't have two officers going at all times during a 24-hour shift. And most of the time, it was during some of the most horrendous hours that you would want somebody working alone. And guess who always draws that shift? A rookie. A rookie does, right? And so then they're always sitting there and they're looking. Think about the kinds of calls you're getting at 2:30, 3 a.m. in the morning. Domestic violence, those kinds of calls. Calls that you want to go in and interrupt. So you're sitting there. You've got this call. You suspect you know what's going on in that house. Now you have a decision to make. You do it alone. You wait for a county sheriff, You wait for the state police to show up. You got a wife and kids or a spouse at home waiting for you to get home. What's your next move? I'll tell you this, as mayor, chief executive of my community, I couldn't sleep at night. We backed the blue. We have 7 new hires in our department. We have 24-hour care now in the city of Sandy with our police. We're one of the only fully staffed departments across the state. But it takes leadership to get someone talking about these issues, the importance of these issues, having Ron DeSantis-style leadership and tripling the size of the state police. That's how we're going to lead.
As you travel around Oregon, what are the most common comments you're hearing from residents?
Well, you know, I talk a lot about that forcing, you know, Portland, big city, politician values and beliefs on the rest of us. But to your question is like, what do we do about that? And how we fix that problem is we empower local communities. You empower local city councils, county commissions, local school boards. You know, it's funny. My wife has always asked, what do you think about this governor stuff? There's so much negativity that surrounds it. And she always laughs and she says, you know what? I'm just glad that I don't only see that person on Facebook at the store the next day, the grocery store, like we do with mayor, right? And the reason she says that is because mayors are accountable at the local level among the neighbors in which we live. And if that's the case, that means the major decisions in the state need to be at the local level in consultation with local community members. And then that is how people feel heard, because all of a sudden they have control over their own community's futures and destinies, you know, and the future of their own lives. And I'll tell you, as a mayor, I understand the importance of that. I also understand the waste in government that happens with all these layers of government sitting over the top. We need to get money directly where we need it, and we need people on the ground level making the decisions where that money goes. And that's how we unite the state, and that's how we bring the rural communities along with us.
You mentioned your wife's comment. I'm curious, has running for governor and all the different facets of it been harder than you expected?
You know, so I have a history of working kind of behind the scenes with different folks. I've been around it for a while. You know, when you get in, you know what it is, right? And so you know it's going to be hard. You know things are going to be talked about. And obviously walking through it, something, you know, completely different. What I will say is, sure, you know, I think maybe some of it has been a little bit harder than, you know, you maybe think or hope that it would be. But I also think that Oregonians and voters have an opportunity, you know, in adversity and things to see what you're made of. And I tell you what, you know, at the end of this thing, I don't think anybody can look at my wife, Mackenzie, and I and say that we don't have fortitude and grit and that we're not determined to make a change in the state, you know, and to address the biggest problems facing us. And I think about that debate we were talking about earlier. Yeah, you know, those candidates go up there and they answer the questions when asked. But quite frankly, you got to watch the debate to figure out, you know, where they're at on these issues. Shannon, Mackenzie, brother, we've been in the fight. We've been in the fight, you know, for 2 years now, fighting with our local Main Street business owners, fighting with parents in our community, you know, in support of our children. You continue to see us in this fight as we were the first to call it the culture of criminality, the mass homelessness and crime. The fact that we have a mayor, you know, in Portland that can't even go out at night without getting punched in the face. The next night, you know, he's being sprayed with pepper spray. Portland's become a national embarrassment. So, you know, these issues are worth it. Sure, it's tough. Sure, it's hard to walk. But you know what? Wouldn't have it any other way. This state is too darn important. We're at, you know, this is 1776 again. It is. This is a moment. This is a moment where people need to stand up and be accounted for, whether Republican or Democrat. People need to get engaged in our process because we need to save the state and our country, or quite frankly, we're going to lose it forever.
About a minute left. Ballots are hitting mailboxes even today in some cases. What's your final pitch for those who are beginning to get ready to make their vote known?
My final pitch is if you're like me and you are sick and tired of what's going on with the state, you're tired of the mass homelessness, the crime rate that's skyrocketing, you're sick and tired of yours and my children going to some of the worst schools in this country and politicians not being held accountable for it. If you're ready to see a fighter, someone who's going to take on these issues, not just get in there and say that their hands are tied and try to push the buck, but actually try to unite Oregonians to take on the biggest issues that are facing us, stand up to the extreme woke left, speak truth to power, draw the line for our local communities and fight back, we believe we're solidly your choice. My name is Stan Pulliam. I'm running for governor, and I would be honored to have your vote in this May election.
All right, Stan Pulliam, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.